All right. Good morning, everyone. Lance and Matt here of the Project Offbeat podcast. And we're very delighted today as we're partnering with Red Panda Productions. Today, we have such a lovely guest, right? In this podcast, we usually talk about like unconventional careers, right? Careers that are usually non-corporate. And today, we are talking to one of the fastest rising AV idols in Japan, right? So in this episode, we want to tackle the career of an AV idol. Okay, how it came to life, right? The economics behind it and all, right? And our guest today is none other than June Lovejoy, right? She was born in America, but I think she resides in Japan, right? So,
yes.
June, welcome to the Philippines. You know, talk about your stay here so far and, you know, how did you get into this life?
Thank you for welcoming me. What an introduction. The Philippines have been nice to me so far. The food is phenomenal. Love it. Love the banana ketchup. I was thinking lots of that to bring home. I think that'll make an excellent souvenir. And how I got into the industry?
Did you get into this industry? Yeah.
Originally, I worked as like an interpreter and a translator as well as a trainer for like a certain company, a really big company. I can't say what it was, but
sure.
And it was really miserable for me to work there. I worked there for 2.5 years and every day I was treated like absolute garbage, but I loved the company. I loved the brand so much that I felt like, oh, it's my fault that this is happening. And eventually I just couldn't take it anymore. And I thought like, I only live once. I want to do something that's fun for me.
Yep.
And I like erotic manga very, very much,
yep.
But I can't necessarily draw in a way that could sell well. And I thought, well, I have 8 years of acting. I could probably do AV in Japan. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I went for an interview and it was great. I got in.
Yeah. I mean, could you take us through, you know, the day-to-day of your life as an AV idol, right? I wonder what is the preparation behind it?
Okay.
Right? We usually produce content as well. And me and Matt, we talk about how, you know, spend days researching, you know, about the guests that you're talking to.
Okay.
But the content that you're creating. How do you prepare for such an work in life?
So preparing for a shoot, because I wear Winnie hats, so for specifically talking about the AV side of my work, preparing for a shoot means that I have to be very cautious about my body and my face. It's a lot of going to the spa, and I know it's like, oh, wow, you get to go to the spa for your job. It's honestly not fun. You're sitting on like a cold slab of like table, and they are like running a laser up and down your body for 3 hours. And you're like, get me out of here. I want to go home. And I can't eat certain things that I want to, or I can't like stay up super late because I'm like, oh, no, what if my skin breaks out or something? So I'm very cautious about that. Exercise is a big part of it. They usually send the script about a week in advance, and I have to go over that because Japanese AV, unlike like Western stuff, is very scene-based, very story-based. So I need to practice my lines. And it's just a lot of, I think a lot of physical prep.
Yeah.
Depending on the scene as well.
Yeah. So this Manila trip has been, was it a healthy thing for your, you know, preparation, right? I was talking to June, you know, before the shoot happened and, you know, Philippines aren't that known for their, you know, leaves and greeny, you know, items. How is that?
I said, where are the vegetables? And you said, you mean the garnish?
Yeah.
Yeah. not going to hate on the, because I know that the wonderful group that brought me here, Red Panda, they just want me to try all the famous Filipino food, or maybe unknown Filipino food as well. So I get the full experience before I go back. I'm only here for a week. So I'm really grateful for that, but I'm not used to eating this way. I have like veggies every meal and then maybe there's like some fish with it. And then maybe once a week it's meat, but I'm not eating like fried food every day.
You gotta try our lumpia Shanghai.
I had it yesterday.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's some healthy diet, right?
What? Got veggies and they're fried. Yeah. Hello, hello. I will bend over some.
That is not healthy at all.
It's so good. It's purple.
Right.
Yeah.
Just curious. How did you come up with your name? Mm. Because I mean, that's such a big part of, you know, what people search online and whatnot.
Right. So my real name is June. But,
oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, my real name is June. But I wanted a name that, just as a side note, my agency at the time tried to give me my name, like your, it's called Game, like your stage name.
Okay.
They tried to give it to me one and they said, June, we've got one for you. It's going to blow your mind. And they were like, Samantha.
Wow.
And I was like, last name? You don't even need it. And I was like, no one can search Samantha and get a result.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly.
So I was like, can I suggest something? And I had thought of June Lovejoy because it sounds like a very like out there name in Japanese, but it's easy for anyone to remember or say. Like all Japanese people know the word labu and they all know joy.
So it's a direct translation.
Labu joy, yeah, it's just June labu joy, but they pronounce it in like Japanese.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But in America, it's like a common last name. I knew people with that last name as a kid. It's a character's name in The Simpsons or Titanic. Mm. It's not too weird of a name, but it's enough to where it's like, is that their real name or is that a stage name?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just got June because June is like pure in Japanese.
Oh.
So it's like pure love and joy. Junsui. Junsui means pure.
That's really nice,
pure
actually.
Love and joy.
Oh.
No wonder a lot of people I heard, you know, get married on the month of June.
June brides, yeah.
June brides, right?
June brides, yeah.
So that is why it means pure, okay,
yeah, pure
in
pure,
Japanese.
Pure. Yeah, a lot of people ask, Japanese people, it's their favorite joke. They're like, were you born in June? And I'm like, you gotta get a new joke, baby. You gotta get
right,
a new joke.
Right.
The joke sucks.
Right. You know, we did this show, Project Offbeat, where we talked about the offbeaten transitions of people from their corporate life
right.
to, you know, another career, right? Which is exactly what you told us right now, right? Could you talk to us about, you know, what's unique about you is you came from, I think you were born in America.
Yes, yeah.
But then you transitioned to Japan, right?
Right.
And then I think that is where you were also introduced to this industry and career, right? How did that, you know, migration from that, from the West to the East, right? How did that happen?
So as a kid, I think anyone watching who even slightly likes anime, like as a kid, I was really into Japanese pop culture.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily know at age 5 that Goku came from Japan. Right? Like you don't know.
With that hair?
Yeah,
with that hair? Come on.
Yeah, or you don't know about like countries right at that point.
It's
just, so around the time I was like 8, I had a friend who was half Japanese, half German. And I'm half German. And we were really close. And I would hang out at her house. And her mom couldn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom would like really, really try to share her culture with me. And that's where I was like, oh my God. Pikachu comes from Japan.
Oh.
I want to go to Japan. And I was just so hell-bent on going to Japan. But I, around the time I was graduating college, it was like, you know, reality hit me. I was like, I'm probably not ever going to Japan. Like, I need to maybe go once every 5 years, save up money and then go. Or maybe when I retire, I can live there.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to happen. And I really thought about that. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I have one life. And you're telling me that the one thing I want most, which is to live in Japan or go to Japan, I'm going to save that to the very end of my life or I'm going to put it on the back burner. And I thought that was so crazy. And if I really wanted to live in Japan or work in Japan, that I should do it now, even if it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just honestly no, because I didn't have any support from like family or anything. I grew up like I left my house when I was like 16 and I lived all on my own and I didn't have any money or any support, but I just thought, if this is what I really wanted, I should just go do it now. And if it's difficult, like anything you do in life is going to be difficult, but you might as well be fighting for something you actually want to do rather than like fighting for the chance to be able to do it maybe when you're older, right?
Yeah. It makes us reflect on our lives as well because us, I think we earn, you know, a couple of our funds as well. And then we go on vacations maybe twice or thrice a year.
Yeah.
But, you know, June mentioned that, you know, just go for it. Right? Reach for especially while you're still young, right?
I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. When I first moved to Japan, there were times where I did not eat. Like, I passed out in my house.
Wow.
Like, you know when you take a hot shower and your blood, like, rushes?
Mm.
I hadn't eaten in maybe 3 days, and I just passed out in the shower. And I lived in a share house, so I'm really glad no one found me, like, naked and passed out. But I came to, and I was like, oof. I gotta just keep going. And one thing I'd really like, it's not in your question, I don't know if it's coming up in the questions, but I don't want anyone listening to be like, to take this, what I'm saying, like my story to be like, all right, gotta go into AV. Because that's not, I'm not suggesting that, but for me, I personally love like human sexuality, I love eroticism, and it works for me. But if you're just thinking, oh, I hate my job, June also was suffering and then went into porn, or AV, sorry, and now they're happy, that's not the equation. That's not AV. It's whatever will make you happy and you really want to do. And even if you're starving and passing out in the shower because you haven't eaten, you still want to do it. Find that for yourself.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are like, how do I get into AV? Maybe that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a one-to-one comparison.
Exactly.
I really appreciate
right?
that.
But it worked for your equation, yes. Right?
Because I'm not miserable doing AV, but there are people who are like, oh, what if my family finds out? Really? If you're worried about your family finding out, you should not be doing this kind of career. My mom and all my family knows. There's not a single person in my life that doesn't know that I'm doing this career.
Awesome, awesome. Was there any friction when you started, you know, proposing this career to your family and friends, right? Were there any, you know...
Or did you even consult them,
I guess. Did you even consult them about that, right? What happened in that transition?
So I had a weird relationship with my mother. My dad is, like, not a part of... He's super racist, so I am not that... He's not the guy we should talk about. But my mom, I ran away from home at 16, and I swore to never really talk to my mom again. And then living abroad kind of, like, lightened the weirdness of our relationship, and it made it a little bit easier to talk to her because there was a barrier of, like... social network, like Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I think my mom, even though we weren't super close at the time, knew that I was suffering with my previous job. And all of my friends sure as hell knew that, like, I was on the edge of just, like, ending it all because I was working so many late hours. Wow. I was being abused at work. And it was, no matter how hard I worked to make things better, it just wasn't getting better. It was like a lost cause. Mm-hmm. And so I just announced on Facebook, like, hey guys, I'm going to start doing AV, like a post, like, I'm going to start doing AV. If you see me, please don't use my legal last name. You know, you can call me June, that's fine. But this is what I'm going to be doing. I was just very open because a lot of the times with, like, AV actresses or maybe people who do content creation in general and don't want their legal name out, people who know their legal name will try and use it against them. And I just wanted to take that away. Mm. I'm like, hey guys, like, I'm already telling everyone. It's not a secret. And then I messaged my mom and said, hey, I'm going to be doing this. And she said, all right, be careful. And that was really nice. It still stays with me because even though we weren't super close, she still respected that I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And all she wanted me to do was be careful. Like, no, this is sinful. No, this is, you know, disgusting.
That's like the most accepting answer.
Just be careful. Because that's what I would tell you when you leave today. Like, have a great day. Be careful. It just shows a lot of love, a lot of respect. Whatever you do today, I cannot control it, but I want you to be safe.
Yeah.
And I think it was the best answer the best response she could have had.
The industry of AV Idol, right? I think you mentioned that you went into, you know, Facebook or social media and posted about it, mm-hmm. right? Were there anyone specifically wherein you saw that they were doing this career, or how did you research upon, you know, the you know, economics of this all, or, mm-hmm. you know, if it's even feasible, you know, how did you, you know, get into this?
I really don't want to talk poorly about other actresses, but I'm sometimes asked a similar question where it's like, is there anyone that you look up to in the industry?
Yeah.
My answer is a flat no. But I did research, and it's not that I don't think they're doing it well, but it's not doing it the well I want to do it. For example, a lot of Japanese AV idols or actresses will just post in one certain way. Like, they'll make themselves seem like very... It's almost like they're just a sex object. There's no fun in it. Like, it's just like, hey guys, watch my, you know, video. I'm so, like, flustered and ready to go. And they only post in Japanese, and I'm like... Japan is such a small country. You could be doing so much more. Anything you do, it needs to be on a global scale.
Yep.
No matter what you're doing, that, like, any industry, you cannot focus on your home base or whatever country you're living in. And I was like, okay, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have just one way to view my content, which is just the adult side. Yeah. I'm like goofy. I'll do live streams. I'll do interviews.
Yeah.
I'll do non-erotic work as well. So anyone can enjoy different facets of my work. I wanted to really keep that in mind moving forward in the AV world. And I'm also well aware that, especially in AV, we have an expiration date. And it's... It doesn't necessarily have to be age. You can still be young and then be booted out of the industry because there's someone... who maybe has a different look than you that's selling even better. So you constantly have to be improving yourself, getting new skills. And I did, I did research, but I just used it as like, oh, this is the thing I don't want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually really like that because it's like June is focused on making people see that she's more than just this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're selling other parts of yourself in a way. But it's not solely
On YouTube, I also saw, like, June had a lot of, like, interviews.
Love interviews.
Like, where you talk to people in the same industry or even in the different industries. Yeah. So, very, very different approach to this career.
Yeah, and one thing I want to highlight on my interviews, if that's okay, is I get interviewed a lot, and you guys don't do this, thank you. But it's not that I hate eroticism, but every single time, because I love it. I love it more than anything. I love human sexuality so much, and I want to talk openly about it. But there's a way to be like open and respectful and fun with it, and then there's a way to be gross about it. And in my interviews, I really just want to like understand why they're in an industry, what the industry means to them, you know, what are their goals? Whereas like other interviewers are like, 100%. You know, what is your favorite size? Or like, who has the best
really?
Piece?
Really?
And it's so, and you're like,
I think we should cancel this question.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I didn't have any here.
But
just kidding. So,
yeah.
When Mike told us that we'd be interviewing a JAV actress, I did not picture like a American.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess a good question here would be, what would you say is like the difference between, you know, the Eastern and Western industries you know, adult video, and maybe also talk about your experience as a Westerner in this industry.
Beautiful,
you know?
Question.
Yeah.
I would also like to say that I consider myself a JV actress as like Olympians who are like American Olympians who play on the Japanese team. I'm definitely a part of the Japanese team, but I myself am not ethnically Japanese and I've never claimed it. But I come from like Japanese AV industry. So all of my training, everything I know is JAV, so Japanese side of it. And the difference is there's so many, but the ones that shock me the most are the STD testing in the JAV industry is so extensive and so robust that it's not a game. It's not something that, you know, like they're very serious about it. You can't just bring a piece of paper. You have to physically log into the system and show like your legal name, your ID, you know, when you got tested. And then you have to get tested for 9 different STDs. Mm-hmm. Whereas like in America or Europe, I'll get offers and I'm like, do you guys test for herpes? And they're like, why would we do that? We've all got herpes. And I'm like, well, I cannot work with you. I'm sorry. They're very much more lax on it. There is testing. I have done films in non-Japanese companies, but the testing is much more lax, and especially in regards to herpes, and that is something I cannot vibe with at all.
Yeah.
And other differences is that, in a good way, the Western side is shorter. Like, shoots are much shorter. It's like a 4-hour day, including makeup, including shower time, and them explaining the scene. But in Japan, I've had 24-hour shoots. And
24-hour?
And you think, like, Japan is so... Wow. Well, I'm not going all in one go. The whole day. The whole day.
Wow. 24 hours?
Yeah, 24 hours. From 6 a.m. to the next day, 6 a.m. And it doesn't need to be that long. Like, I know we have this image of, like, Japan being, like, super efficient. Maybe not in my industry. They are not efficient. There's, like, 10 guys on set, and you're like, why? Not, and they're not actors. They're just, like, 80s, light guy, sound guy. And you're like... I don't think we need this many people, but if there's that many people, then like things get slower on set. It's not as efficient. You would think more people, maybe more efficient. Not the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Western stuff, it's like a show up, get my makeup done, do my scene, and I'm out. And it's so nice.
Yeah.
But it's less story driven. So what makes JV much more fun and much more enjoyable for me, especially I think for a lot of women, is like there's a story and it's not just immediately like the action. It's like, who are these characters? What's the drama? It's like a telenovela, but with the spicy scenes. And I prefer that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. With the plot, right?
Yeah. You know, I prefer plot.
Towards it. Yeah. You know, earlier you mentioned about the mandatory STD testing.
Yep.
And I also heard about it when you interviewed Shiori.
Oh,
Shiori,
yeah.
Right? So with that in mind, I'd like to also ask the question that I think you talked about with Shiori, wherein how has the industry changed over the years in terms of, you know, protecting the actresses, right? Or the actors in it, right? Because I would think before it wasn't as, you know, process-oriented, right? So any other things? Like, you know, for example, your privacy or your whatnot, right? Are there any protections in place or laws?
Really big, really wonderful question. I wish that I could just put it all in a book because there's so much, but just off the top of my head... really weird and something that Western actresses don't really get when they message me like, hey, I'd like to do some films in Japan. I'm like, cool, when are you coming? Because I work as an agent sometimes. Like, cool, when are you coming? And they're like, next week. You can't do that. You have to, all of the contracts have to be signed 1 month in advance. And the reason why they do that in Japan is because not all girls are like me. Some girls don't really want to do this kind of work. So the 1 month acts as a buffer. They sign the contract.
Like they prepare themselves. Is that right?
Prepare themselves. But it gives them time. The reason why the law was, or this rule is in place, is it gives them time, in theory, to change their mind if they don't want to do AV. So 1 month, so I say, hey, you're going to do a film next month. And you sign the contract, but before we film, if you cancel, we're, you know, it's going to be a hassle, but you're not going to be in trouble, nothing. But if you cancel after you shoot, you need to give back the money that we paid you. And you're probably not going to get any more films. But within that month period, it is a little bit of a buffer.
Do they do the same in like the US? Or?
Not at all. No, you could be like, hey, can you film tomorrow? And you're like, yeah, no problem. It would just be a matter of STD. Do you have a proper and valid STD test at that point? But the 1 month buffer is annoying for people like me who are like, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm not, I like this work. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
But it is in place to protect maybe women who don't necessarily want to do this work.
I think that's really important, actually. The 1 month buffer. Because some people, like, especially, like, you can hear so many stories about people regretting going into this.
And
even if they create like one or two.
There's an even bigger buffer after that. So say 1 month, say we film on the 30th of September.
Yeah.
That film cannot be released until 4 months after that date. You have to wait 4 months.
Oh.
So that will kill producers.
Right.
And it's not good for people like me either, because we want our films out. We want to keep making. People ask me all the time, are you retired? And I'm like, no, I just, my films aren't going to release until four months later.
I see.
But it's another buffer. So if you don't want your film, you filmed.
You could pay for it.
You
canceled
it. Yep.
Oh,
you just pay the money back. Damn. That's all you have to pay. You pay back the money they paid you. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, it doesn't, think about it. All of those 10 people that were on set and the studio.
Yeah.
And the editing and everything that they put into it within those 4 months.
Right.
All you have to pay back is the money that you got
paid.
Paid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that the studio still takes a big hit because they have paid those 10 other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. In terms of making the scenes, right, knowing your partner, or if ever there will be a partner, mm-hmm. right, does that play into the equation wherein, say, they would tell you, hey, here will be your partner, and you don't like it necessarily, can you like opt out just because of your partner specifically? Really?
So in the contract, because it's done a month and ahead, in advance, sorry, it says their legal name and their stage name. And it's like...
So you can do research prior, right?
You can do about research, and we're allowed to blacklist anyone we don't like. So when I talk to a studio, I'm like, hey, I blacklisted one person before, and I just say, hey, they say, who do you not want to work with, or actress or actor, director as well, and I say, oh, these people I will not work with.
Oh, even like, directors.
Yes, yeah, I blacklisted a director before too.
Right.
So you can, you can do that, and they give you the name in advance. So in case that studio doesn't know that you've blacklisted that person, you can still say, oh, I can't work with this person. Please find another person.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Now for your career in the AV space, right? How has the distribution changed, right? With the onset of like sites like OF, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are these sites more accessible for a lot of people and even for actresses like yourself, right? Or, you know, you'd still prefer the more, you know, traditional way of releasing those videos? Like you mentioned, there is like 1 month rule, 4 month rules and whatnot.
The 1 month and 4 month rule were put into place October of last year.
Okay.
Oh, just recently.
But we're constantly getting new regulations in our industry.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate for girls or actresses having their own fan site, whatever it is. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be making content on your own. However, something that is different from Japanese and Western industries is more often than not, in order to work in the Japanese industry, you need to be with an agency.
Mm.
I'm freelance, but I worked for my agency long enough, and then I was like, goodbye.
Okay.
I had enough name recognition to where like people still sent me offers. But as a rule, typically you need to be in an agency. And if you are working with an agency, even if you want to do a fan site, they will take like 20 to 50% cut.
What?
And they will not
help
you. They will not help you with the content. If they're a nice agency, maybe. But when I was working for an agency and I said, hey, there's this new site called OF, I think I'd like to do it. And they were like, cool, whatever you do, we want 20%.
Oh.
I was like, oh, are you guys going to help? And they're like, no.
So why do people go through agencies if that's the case? Like, do they protect you legally? I don't know.
What they act as a safety net for the studio. So again, we talked about if an actress is like, take that film down, that studio now has to eat the cost. In theory, the agency is now the insurance.
Right.
So we're like, this is a normal person. They will show up on time. We will make sure that they show up on time. We will make sure that they're tested. They pay for your STD test. Now that I'm freelance, I have to pay for it myself.
Right.
But to be quite honest, like a lot of people like talk badly about the AV industry and they say like, oh, like everyone's being forced. For me, I feel like they always forget about the agencies because they don't know about them. Agencies are the worst part about the industry, in my opinion. They don't do anything and they take huge cuts from anything that the actresses want to do. And they don't support in any way. They never came to any of my shoots. They never like drove me anywhere. What? Like they really? Just basically play telephone secretary. Right. So you're like, hey, I'd like to film June.
They just connect you.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And I just took out the middleman. And now we just talk directly.
You know, I was about to ask if the AV industry is suffering because of like maybe the onset of like OnlyFans or like all of these other sites, but it seems like maybe
it's not. More enabling, right? It's actually empowering actresses.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, so now what actresses are doing is they just use a different name when they do their OF.
Oh,
so it's a legal like a loophole. It's right. a loophole. So they still promote it to their fans in secret, but it's not using the name that's registered with the agency. And it's hurting the industry because it's like, why would I give you a huge cut of my payment if I could just make stuff on my OF? And honestly, something that's really hard for me to understand, and I'm still like trying to do this style of content, is more often than not, fans want to see like iPhone style quality content, like what you'd see like on authentic? OF. Authentic. Like authentic or like amateur. Yes, yeah, more relatable than like a huge studio production. But I have worked 4 years in studio. And so if it's not studio quality, I'm like, oh, that's not good. My fans won't like this. But my fans are like, no, we want the grainy iPhone quality content. What are you not getting?
Really?
Yeah. It's really hard
it's for me. It's very realistic.
They like
right?
it.
It's more you know reachable, I think, I guess, for fans.
It's like if your girlfriend sends you something fun. That's what what it feels like. But to me, I'm like, yeah but it's like grainy.
Right.
I think it's actually really empowering. They like you more than the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. Okay, I think before we go to the what's in it portion, I want to ask any AV actresses or idols that you want to like shout out because they paved the way for this industry. That way they empowered you guys to like, you know, step up your own game, right? Protect yourselves and whatnot. Anyone in mind?
Oh my God, this is I'm glad that this is not in Japanese because I would get in so much trouble.
Okay.
I want to, if you were to say anyone that you want to shout out that's currently in the industry, yes. But the previous people, more often, I keep saying this word, but more often than not, I got to be very careful. They just talk trash about the industry, even though it paved the way for their careers now. So they're like ex-JV actresses, but they're like, oh no, I was abused. They didn't treat me well at all. When like, it's not necessarily the case. Like maybe they had some bad experiences, but they also had very good ones as well, and it's why they're able to have their careers now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anyone to really shout out.
Okay.
But current actresses that I think are amazing, because I want to end on a positive note, Nagai Maria, she's half Filipina, half Japanese, and she I would say she was the first one to successfully implement OF in her career, because at the time, everyone was like, you know, oh, what is this foreign site? Japanese people are really like weary to anything that isn't Japanese. And she just tackled it head on. And she is just a businesswoman. She might not be the nicest person. You know, she's very business oriented, so she's not going to be your friend. But she is definitely someone who's a pioneer and constantly doing things that maybe other people in her industry aren't. And I really respect that because I feel like even though we might not be doing the same exact thing, we are in the same industry, but she's doing things that no one else is doing. And I'm also doing things that no one else is doing in our industry. And I look to her as like for inspiration, like, oh yeah, we're both doing our best and we're not just sticking to the mold or what is like set.
Yeah.
So shout out to Nagai Maria.
Shout out Nagai.
I wanted to come to the Philippines. Right. She's Filipina. So
well, you're welcome here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, so usually in this show, we ask our guests, like, in case our audience is interested to get into this career.
Okay.
Right? How do they get started?
Okay.
Right? What preparation or maybe what research do they have to do? Like you mentioned, you may need to work with an agency. Where can they find these agencies and whatnot?
I don't know the legality for Filipinos, so I'm just going to, like, say worldwide.
Okay, sure, that works.
Every country's different. I always get messages that are like asking this very same question. And what I say is like, think of yourself as an art student. You need a portfolio. So if you show up in my DMs and you're like, hey, I want to come on set, like let me on, girl or guy, I'm going to think you're annoying because I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're capable of. Guys will comment on my like films and be like, I could do better. Could you? With 16 lights on you and 10 guys.
Exactly.
Would you do better, baby? I doubt it. So I think you really need to start making your own content in your house, no matter how crappy. Yeah, you cannot, in this industry right now, you cannot just jump in because there's so many people that can already do what you want to do, and they have a portfolio. They have like an OF, they have whatever fan club, even if it's not erotic, they have something to show the studios and say like, this is what I can do. Back in the day, yeah, I applied, but I still had to go to an interview and they took pictures, you know, they asked me like all of this stuff. But with a portfolio from anywhere in the world, you can say like, this is what I'm capable of. This is what I look like. This is how I perform. Would you like to work with me? And that's much easier for studios or agencies to be like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Like for example, Melody Marks, she's an American AV actress, and she works in America, lives and works in America, but also sometimes does films in Japan. And so there might be some people like, oh, I'd like to maybe do something similar to her. How does she do it? She was scouted by a Japanese company. They see her work. They see her, like, all of her content. And they're like, yeah, we'd like to do this in our studio. So you need to have stuff to show, like an art portfolio.
Interesting. I was actually going to ask, like, is it true what they say about how maybe if you're a really, like, beautiful person walking in the streets of Japan, will there be like creepy businessmen handing you cards?
That's true. That's very true. Oh, they're called scalps, and it's technically illegal. And if you ever get asked that, I would recommend just like, well, of course, if a man comes up to you on the street, just walk away, baby. But, but there are people who, that's how they got into the industry. But it's so unsafe, and they all have websites. All agencies have websites. If you don't speak Japanese, if someone is like listening and they want to get into the Japanese industry, mm-hmm. if you do not speak fluent Japanese, that's not going to happen unless you're like, you have a huge portfolio like Melody Marks, because she gets assigned an interpreter. Like I'll be an interpreter on her sets and do it for her. But again, you need to think globally. Do not focus just on Japan. Mm-hmm. I speak Japanese. I live in Japan. I will die in Japan. So it makes sense for me to play for the Japanese team. But you need to think globally. You need to be, you know, reaching out to all studios and showing your portfolio.
Yeah. So, you know, what I appreciated is while, you know, watching your interviews, there are like subtitles. Oh. You know, it is, for me, it's a very nuanced thing for people to do that. But that is so important for, just for example, me and Matt, who does not speak Japanese at all, right? We understand what you're talking about with Shiori and whatever interview, right? So I think that in itself is very global
that means so much
mindset, right? Global thinking.
Always.
Okay, you know, I want to talk to you as, you know, a fellow content creator.
Okay.
Like, you may be an idol, we are a podcaster, right? But for us, it's one and the same. We create content for fans, for people, right? What would be your tip as a content creator in terms of rallying up fan engagement, right? How do you keep your audiences related and, you know, connected to you somehow? Like, any tips in that matter?
It's a double-edged sword, but I think, and it's something that you have to balance it so well, and I know it's not the best answer, but being real, even to the point where you, like, embarrass yourself, I was talking to my fans
really?
Yesterday, yeah, and they were like, something we really appreciate about you is, like, with other, maybe AV actresses, it's just a very catered experience. You see what they want you to see versus like when they come to my live streams, I'm just like, do you guys want to know about how I like fucked up? How I messed up like a date with a beautiful woman. And they're like, yeah,
really?
But I'm supposed to be this image of like, you know, goddess of like lust or something.
Exactly.
And I'm like, this is how I fumbled like the most beautiful man and it's or woman or whatever. And they like it because it's like, and I've seen a tweet too. It's like June shows up at all these cosplay events and it's like my friend is also doing erotic content. So you can, again, if you want to see your favorite content creator get naked or like do some spicy content, you can. But you can also enjoy other things.
Yeah.
So maybe not all content creators that are listening can be like, I don't want to start an OF. Don't. But you need to be real with your fan base and honest. Because it makes them be able to relate with you. And however, like, it's like a dial, right? Like, it's a level. How much do you want to show before it becomes dangerous? Because there is parasocial relationships, right? There's people that, in my comments, that are like, oh my God, June, I know everything about you. We're best friends. And I'm like, I have never met you, baby. I do not know anything about you. So I think being very open and honest. But with Offbeat, I don't know how you guys could even... I mean, just seeing the friendship, maybe like BTS.
Yeah.
I like seeing BTS. I like seeing like how it's working, or maybe you guys like eating together. Like the more like social aspects of it than all of this like in the polo shirts and like, hello, we are upbeat. For me, I would appreciate that as well. Like it just makes me feel closer to whatever your brand is and consistency. I'm like the biggest hypocrite for it, but you gotta beat the big beast that is.
I have to agree. Yeah, I mean, our show was, I think, in hiatus for like 2 months now. But, you know, we're getting to it. Yeah. We're getting to it. June's episode will be, you know, something we will start off with it again, you know. I just want to ask, like, any particular trait that Filipino fans have that you remember specifically? Because I think just recently, American artist Lainey just mentioned and shouted out Filipino fans, like, when they go to Manila for their concerts, it just feels different.
What?
I don't know how they, you know, explain it, or I don't know what they feel.
Okay.
But there's just something with Filipinos. Maybe we're noisier that way. I don't know. For you, Filipino fans, like...
I've never met a Filipino fan.
Oh,
not yet.
Oh,
it's this
man.
Weekend. But I will say, that when I got the offer, like, let's do an event, I was like, I have Filipino fans? And they're like, yes, you have Filipino friends. That's why we want to do this event.
Yeah.
I was like, really? And then I announced, like, hey, gonna do an event in Manila. And it's just so much love. Like, you're coming here. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'll come to Manila. Like they live in a different city in the Philippines, but they're like, we'll come to see you. Mm. And I have like a Discord, like where anyone can join, and I put the events on it. And I've done events in America, Europe, Taiwan, and I've never seen so many people just like, oh, like, what are you gonna wear to the event? What are you gonna bring for June to sign? You know, like, there's not a lot of information about, at the time, there wasn't a lot of information about the event. And I just saw like the Filipino fans, like, kind of making up theories, like what they thought was gonna be at the event. They're like, oh, maybe they'll do this, or maybe they'll have this. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys are so passionate. I can't wait to meet you. But I have never met a Filipino fan. I've talked to them on Discord. But never in person.
Yeah. I think one of the last parts of our show would be what we call off the record. It's coming from that root word.
Ironically, it's still on the record.
It's still on the record,
but we like to call it off the record. It is a show where we talk to our guests beyond their careers, right? You know, just personally, you as person, June, right?
Or the most interesting questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, so man, my fans will be really excited.
Exactly, right?
I hope it's things I haven't been asked before. Ooh.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The pressure's on.
So
pressure's on.
Earlier June, you specifically mentioned that this life of yours will also have its deadline, right?
Yes.
Or there at the end of the day, it will probably expire, right?
Yep.
So have you ever thought about what you would be doing right after this life? Right. First thing that comes to mind, I don't know, maybe a manga artist or whatnot. Right. What are you thinking post, you know, June Lovejoy as a content creator? Do you see any picture there?
I would like to be. Oh, I already am. But I would like to be more recognized for being a producer and just a CEO of my company, but not like a rich CEO. I just want to be because I'm a producer of my movie label.
Right.
And I produce a lot of things. In Japan and Europe and America, as well as Taiwan. But I would like to be like known for, oh yeah, June was in charge of this project. That's why it's so amazing. I don't necessarily want to be like CEO, like big and money man, like in fucking Wall Street. Sorry, in Wall Street. I curse a lot. I'm trying really hard. I'm Griffin.
This is a preview of
me turning bright red, trying not to curse. But I would like to be known as just someone who does a lot of really interesting projects and brings to light, like, for example, recently I started Tokyo Love District, which is a passion project with a French journalist friend of mine, and we're really into like the eroticism of Japan, so like BDSM dungeons in Japan.
Ooh,
doing articles
ooh,
on those.
Yeah.
Like rope shows. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those, but there's no English or French information of those. They're very locked away, secret kind of events, and we recently started that. You can check it out, tokyolovedistrict.com. I'm fine with people enjoying my films. That's what they're made for. But I really hate it when I interact with someone and they're just like, oh, yeah, this porn star or something. Like, for you to say that, you're just using that as like a slur almost. Like, you just want to diminish everything I'm doing because you think lowly of one aspect of a career that I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I can let you know that I interact with so many idols or your favorite content creators. They are even more hedonistic and lewd than I could ever hope to be. And they just don't show it to you. But I do, so.
I'm curious about, think about like Japan, right?
Okay.
Japan is a very closeted, conservative kind of country.
Mm-mm-mm.
What role do you believe that the JAV industry plays in Japanese culture and society?
That's such a beautiful question. I think it is the introduction to Japanese culture for a lot of people. And I know sometimes it can be, again, like a double-edged sword because some people think like, oh, Japanese girls are easy or something, or this is what Japanese girls want. But it's just fantasy. It's just like erotic manga or Naruto. No one should be watching Naruto and be like, oh my God, like Sasuke and Naruto are real. Like, it's just fiction and it's there. But I think Japanese eroticism is very interesting. It differs from other countries and how they show eroticism. Like, there is the censorship, right? So they can't just immediately zoom in on one part and just keep it there. They have to, like, slowly show, like, the fingertips going up to, like, maybe, you know, the clavicle or whatever, and then showing the back of the neck. And it's very sensual. And I think a lot of people can learn from that. I have been told by a lot of, especially Western women, like, oh, JV is the only one I can enjoy. But overall for Japanese society, it's a really hard question that I don't think I could answer in a short amount of time that would be like appropriate for the podcast. But I do think it's really important because, like you said, it's a conservative society and I'm of the belief that sex isn't guaranteed to people. Like, not everyone can find a girlfriend. Yeah. Not everyone can have sex.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're not guaranteed a partner. But being able to watch these films and explore yourself, no matter where you are in the world, it gives you, like, a release and allows you to take, like, partake in self-pleasure, self-exploration. And I just think that's so beautiful for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, your role as a, like, a Western woman playing into this Eastern industry, how do you fit in that narrative? Or do you think it's, like, more of, like, a fetish or, like, a type that people really like? What do you think it is?
You guys are slamming. I'm impressed with all these questions. For me, again, I really do see myself as almost, like, on the Japanese Olympic team of JAV. Yes. And as, like, an American on team. When I first entered the industry and they were like, oh, we want you to purposely speak, like, fucked up or messed up Japanese. Like, katakoto, it's like, konnichiwa, watashi wa. Like, they think a foreigner sounds. And I'm like, but I speak fluent Japanese. This is offensive. But again, it's a fantasy. I'm a character within this, like, scenario in a film. It's not me. And there are people with, like, a Western fetish, white girl fetish in Japan. Maybe they'll just watch one of my films and they'll be like, okay, that was awesome. But if they look at any of my Instagram, Twitter, social media, if they are that kind of person, they're slowly going to not have a good time because I'm crazy. I'm like, you know, I'm really open about being LGBT. I'm really loud and like pro, I don't know if I can say that, but like pro weed and I'd like legalization of weed. I have a lot of opinions that might rock the boat.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of maybe, like, for example, Melody Marks doesn't speak Japanese. She has similar beliefs to me, but people who enjoy her films are just like, oh, cute white girl, nice. And they cannot see anything past that because there is no Japanese information about her beliefs. But I loudly post about it. But yeah, I guess I can't control how people perceive me. I might be like, I probably am a fetish for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I cannot control how people perceive me. And I think I do enough on my own content that to kind of mitigate and get away from that.
You know, we do have a question here about how like porn, it's not realistic to real life, but I feel like, you know, porn is one part of it, but you're showing other parts of your personality. So I feel like in a way you're showing that you're not just a fetish, I guess.
Yeah. But then like if they're watching the film on a pirating site and they don't even know my name, we can't control how they see me.
Oh, yeah.
But if they do take the time to like, oh, who is this person? I like them. But it's funny you mentioned the whole, like, it's not reality. It is so frustrating for me. Like, people ask me all the time, like, are the pies real? I'm like, are you asking if, like, Iñaki is really a rubber man in the One Piece live action? Like, why this content specifically has to be real? And it goes back to the OF stuff. People just want the grainy iPhone stuff. They want realness. And they cannot accept that it's just a film. It's just a film.
Yeah. You know, we asked one of our guests before, which is a Filipino cosplayer, right? And we asked her, you know, doing this career, you know, people see you as like maybe wearing costumes of the Avengers, right? Mm-hmm. And to Matt's point earlier, it may not seem like realistic for some, right? But when she mentioned that cosplaying helped her in her self-confidence, before she couldn't even go out of her house in a miniskirt, but cosplaying allowed her to express herself, right? In the same way, this industry, the JV industry for you, did it help you anyhow in your, you know, personal development, your personal confidence and what?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I love that question so much. Oh my gosh, I got little goosebumps. for me, when I first entered the industry, I thought I was more like submissive, and being able to do try out so many different things at a maybe at a pace that maybe other people not in the industry don't get to do. I was like, oh no, I think I'm definitely more dominant. And my favorite thing about this is not only I get to grow in my own like sexuality and my own view of my like, you know, eroticism, I'm so open about it, and I constantly create a platform, or at least I hope to, where people can talk about it freely. Like, I want other people to be able to explore it and talk safely about it. So, for example, in my Discord, people will try to come in and like post GIFs of my like AV films. And that's not allowed. And they're like, but you're a porn star. Like, let us post it. And I'm like, we can, like, what do you hope to achieve by posting that? Like, everyone being like, oh, yeah, so hot. Like, do you really want a group of, like, 3,000 guys being like, hot, yeah, awesome, thumbs up, hit the emojis? Like, I would much rather, we have something called Horny Council, and so we'll say, like, catgirls, and then everyone will be like, yay, nay, or whatever, or like, I don't want to be too erotic, but we'll say, like, a fetish name.
Sure.
And then we'll talk about it as a group, why it appeals to you, why it doesn't appeal to you, what do you have, like, questions about it? And it's so much more, like, beneficial for everyone instead of just being like, fisting, haha. It's, like, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And my, I don't allow it. Because, like, what do you want? Like, do you want me to be like, oh, nice, I was in that film? I would much rather say, oh, this scene? Oh, this was this. Oh, this is what happened. Oh, this actor, I interviewed him here. Like,
yeah.
The film is for a specific purpose. It's for you to enjoy in your private time. It's not for us to, like, put on a, like Discord group call and, oh, nice. Like,
In that same way, and just recently, I think, Sex Education in Netflix released its final season, right? How important do you think is, you know, sex education in this career? And, of course, with what you're doing, right? Especially the way you moderate your Discord groups as well, like you mentioned, right? And there will be a council there. Right? How important is that? How important is, you know, the education of all of these things that you guys are doing?
Sex education is top three important. You need to know these things because you will think that you are dirty or strange, and then you will have self-hatred. It'll create a bunch of weird things, and then maybe you'll end up being an incel. Like, you'll hate women or you'll hate men.
Yeah.
And if you just understood those things about your body that were normal, or maybe these, like, fetishes that you may have, as long as you're not hurting anyone and everyone's consenting, you're fine, baby. No, like, I promise you, you're going to be okay. But no one talks about it openly. Or if they do talk about it openly, it's in a, like, sexually charged way. They're, like, trying to make the other person aroused. And it should just be, like, a counsel. Like, what do you think about it? Oh, yeah, have you tried it before? Oh, yeah, me too. This is what it was like. Oh, I would never try it. This is why. I grew up in a super, super Christian conservative household. And I knew from, like, age 11 that I liked girls more than guys. And when my mom found out, I had to go to a fun time camp where they prayed the gay away. It didn't work.
What?
It didn't work. But had I known...
There's a camp for that?
There's a camp, yeah. We can go. I'll do round two. I don't care. but if I had known that it's normal for humans, some humans, to like people of the same sex, I wouldn't have hated myself. I could have skipped, like, 5 years of sadness and then, like, the remaining 20 years of, like, unlearning all of that.
Yeah. Universities, I hope you're listening. Philippine universities, you're listening. You gotta include this in your courses and, you know what?
Yeah, why not? We are born from sex.
Right.
To act like it's dirty is insane to me.
Do you think that the lack of sexual education leads to one going into the adult film industry? Do you think that's a leading factor? Or do you think more sexual education actually will lead more people to go into...
I think more sex education would lead people away from it because they would have, me specifically, I loved eroticism so much. I love erotic manga. I consume so much of it and I work for erotic manga companies, love it. But more sex education, I think it would lead to people having more understanding about themselves and their barriers and what they're comfortable with and what they're not comfortable with. And I have seen, especially in the Western AV industry, a lot of people don't want to be there. And had they had, like, proper education about what is right or what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, they might not be in the industry. And to me, that's a better industry overall for me, because a good film is someone who wants to be there and wants to make a good film.
Yep.
But a bad film is one where she doesn't want to be there. She's doing it because she wants money. And then later that film is just going to be taken down. It's going to be a whole legal mess. I'm more sex education. I don't know how that could even be a question, how that even could be a debate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying teach kids how to like do insane stuff, but I'm saying teach them about their bodies. And this is a, you know, what these changes that could happen. We were just taught in America, like, what happens when you get pregnant? That's it. But what kid at like 11 is going to get, like, maybe, but we should be taught something else, I think.
Yeah.
There's a documentary called Hot Girls Wanted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Where like budding young girls kind of go into the industry, but then they don't necessarily like it. Then they have to resort to kind of like drugs to cope.
Really?
So it's really saddening to have that kind of industry, but sometimes.
But I don't think it has to be like that. Like, a lot of people are like, they're and their heart is in the right place. Like, I'm feminist, but there are some hardcore feminists that are like, sex work is evil, like patriarchy, it's controlling us. But I have my own rights and I completely understand my body and what I'm doing and I want to make it. But I'm a hardcore advocate for people who don't want to be here or are being exploited, and they need to get out and we need to protect them. But you can do both. You can protect people who want to make these kind of films and protect people who don't want to be here and are being exploited.
Yeah, I have to agree. Okay, I got one last question.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I want you to look back, look ahead 10 years from now, okay? And given the chance, you know, given the chance June is maybe now a producer or maybe has her own agency and whatnot, right? What immediate regulations or rules or, you know, policies will you put in place right now that you wish agencies today would also consider?
I've always said this, but I really, really wish that agencies provided, like, sure, maybe they can't provide courses, but at least suggest courses for actresses so that they can have additional skills when they get out. Ooh. So, for example, makeup artist is a really common career for actresses to do. Like, they'll learn how to be a makeup artist when they retire. They already have all the connections of the industry. They just, like, okay, I no longer do acting, but I can be a makeup artist. They have the certificate. But the fact that agencies are just like, you know, let it rip and then just let the girls, like, spiral to their expiration date and don't assist them in any way, but they're still taking such a big cut. You need to help them, like, create or build their next step.
Yeah,
their post-JV. Like,
yeah. Because you can say, like, oh, it's not their responsibility. Well, then don't hinder them. Like, when they try to make a fan club and you're like, oh, you take 20%, but you don't help, you're a hypocrite. If you're not going to help, don't hinder.
That's such a great point. Yeah. It's in parallel, you know, the Philippine Basketball Association here in the country, PBA, also trains their athletes post 40-year-old athletes that they have to try to learn financial investments as well, financial wellness, right? Because they earn a lot in the peak of their careers, maybe 25 to 40-year-old. But then right after that, some of them skipped high school or skipped college just to play professional basketball.
Okay. Yeah.
And no one's teaching them all of these financial investments and whatnot, right? So maybe in this you know, June Productions in the future, there might be a course for that, right?
I hope so, but I really like that about the Offbeat team. Like, you guys, I know some people may be listening to this and like, I don't want to hear what an AV actor is, dirty.
Yeah.
But you just took what I said and then put it into a different industry. You took like the lesson or the message that I had and you're like, yeah, well, this, you know, basketball industry is doing something similar. Mm-hmm. So I really hope people listening can just take the message away. I'm not saying, you know, start a spicy account. If that's the message you got from this, you weren't listening. You need to start it over one more time.
Yeah.
We're trying to break the stigma.
I love it.
At the end of the day.
Right. So, I mean, that's about it, June. Thank you so much, guys. I guess, June, just any last words, you know, let people know what you are excited about in a few more days here in the Philippines. You got a lot coming up, right? What do you have in mind?
I'm so excited. I'm sorry, like, I couldn't go. The volcano erupted. I couldn't go to the beach.
What timing, man?
At least it exploded or erupted before I got there. But I am most excited to finally meet Filipino fans. And also to enjoy whatever merch I get from Cosmania, which is going on at the same time. I'm a big fan of Artist Alley, and I want a lot of Good Omens merch. But you can find me on June Lovejoy, pretty much YouTube, Reddit, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere. And I run sites like Tokyo Love District, And yeah, check it out. I also have a coffee brand called Mama Love Joy. I do way too much. My movie label's called Stargaze.
Awesome. Filipinos love coffee, no matter how what recipe you put it on.
Yeah, we're actually the second biggest country in like in terms of coffee consumption.
Really? So there
after
you go.
Japan.
There
Are you
go.
Kidding me? Oh, yeah. I should have brought some. My mom actually roasts the beans and I distribute. So
yeah, that's so interesting.
Mama Love Joy.
So yeah, thanks everyone for listening to our episode with June. This is Lance, this is Matt of the Project Offbeat Podcast. Thank you as well to Red Panda Productions, right, for putting this all together. And I hope that you guys learn from the show. Thanks, guys.
All right. That was good. Thank you guys for so respectful.
No, thank you so much.